This episode of my podcast is sponsored by the birthplace of rock and roll. Yes, Sun Records has come out with a new book, and it is titled The Birthplace of Rock and Roll. It chronicles Elvis Presley's early days, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, B.B. King. It's just a great book. It chronicles nearly 70 years of rock and roll music. Sun Records has been there from the start. It chronicles the great night when the Million Dollar Quartet played. It chronicles all of Jerry Lee Lewis's sessions before he moved on. Elvis Presley's early days. The foreword is written by the late Jerry Lee Lewis. There are interviews with Jerry Lee up until his dying days. So this is just a great book to get, and I recommend you get it for $59.99. You could have over 220 pages of articles. You also have great photographs. It all around is a great book. And I'm a rock and roll nerd. You all know this. I've done episodes on Jerry Lee Lewis. I've talked about Elvis Presley. This book taught me things I didn't know. And it goes into the history that we didn't know about. All the singers that Sun Records had. Because, you know, the main four get the attention. But Sun Records had a great number of artists that were with them from their start that we didn't know about, that this book shines a light on. So again, I encourage you to get the Birthplace of Rock and Roll book for $59.99. If you would like more information, please visit sunrecords.com. They will answer all your questions. Again, I encourage you, if you want to learn more about rock and roll history, if you want a great book, if you want to see priceless photographs, if you want to hear what the late Jerry Lee Lewis said, again, this was the last book he ever was a part of, I encourage you to visit sunrecords.com and purchase The Birthplace of Rock and Roll. Again, sunrecords.com, Birthplace of Rock and Roll, and we thank them for being a sponsor. And now, let's get on to the episode. It's all first year. But let me just say this. Brian Daboll and Joe Shane took over a terrible cap situation. They basically got their team in the playoffs without Kenny Galladay, Kadarius Toney. Daniel Jones looks like, I think, comeback player of the year and has a bright future. For me right now, it's Joe Shane and Brian Daboll.
I am going to say first year. Because it is only the first year, and you gotta wait and see what happens. But which team has the better superstars? Which team has the two Rookie of the Year candidates? And which team has the overall better roster? I know they couldn't stay healthy, and I know they need a quarterback, but I would take my guys, Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh, over Shane and Daboll, even though I love Daboll's facial hair, and he's an awesome guy on the sidelines.
Your team didn't show up.
I know
your
they didn't show up, but I still
think
they're better.
Your team didn't show up. Who's playing in the playoffs? But anyway, this is the Ben and Ben
show,
and it starts right now.
Good morning, beautiful people. Happy Friday morning, January 12th. It is 8:03 a.m. Eastern Time in the beautiful State College, Pennsylvania, and we welcome you to the first Ben and Ben show of 2024 in the first brand new time slot for Ben Taylor and I. Benny, how are you? You walked in right at 8 o'clock.
I'm well. Good to be back on the air today. As always, it's a beautiful day in Happy Valley. A lot to get into, a lot to discuss. 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Let's just get right into it.
So before we get into it, Ben, I haven't seen you in a while. We talked a little bit over break, but how was your break? Doesn't Christmas break and the holiday season feel like it was more than 3 weeks ago? Doesn't it feel like it was totally last year? Get it? Come on, that was a good one.
That was a good one. No, but it I guess. I mean, I'm not going to say like it feels that long ago, but I understand where you're coming from. It's good to really be back. I had a good break. I know Wasserman had a good break. We were texting a little bit. Baseball's back in full swing, so, you know, days are getting a little hectic, but I enjoy it.
Yeah, I just saw on Twitter yesterday that spring training pitchers and catchers for the New York Yankees report on February 14th. I believe that is the exact date, so we're a little over a month away. In that picture, well, in that post on Twitter, it was a picture of Gerrit Cole. You know, every time I see his face, it makes me very happy. And Yankees, we got to talk about Yankees starting pitching. They made a nice signing yesterday.
We're talking about
both teams
today.
Some people are a little upset about it. But Yankees start off their season in Houston. Gerrit Cole will be on the mound. That's the first game I'm super pumped about it. But we're still in football season, so until football season ends, then I will be in baseball mode, and hockey season's in full swing. You know,
Devils are collapsing.
Well, they're missing six of their top eight players, so it's pretty difficult. And they haven't had good goaltending
for
the best defense the whole season. And I'm not really a big fan of Lindy Ruff, their head coach.
My roommate wants him to get fired.
Who?
My roommate, who's a huge Devils fan, wants him to get fired.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's not going to get fired, but I don't think anybody who would be the coach right now would have a lot more success than Lindy solely based on the injuries. I mean, listen, Jack Hughes is out right now. Andre Palat's been out almost the whole season. Timo Meier's been out almost the whole season. Dougie's been out almost the whole season. Siegenthaler has a broken foot, and again, bad goaltending. But anyway, let's switch over to the Yankees and on the baseball
side.
Real quick, because there's
a little more pressing news to just quickly jump on. And I think we are the first show on the air this semester, so we'd be a little neglectful if we didn't mention this. What a week.
Yes,
in the sports
what a week.
Role.
I was going to bring that up later in the show, but maybe one of the most historic weeks in football history, if you truly think about it.
Oh, it is. And I think we spent a few minutes on it now, but because the Mets and Yankees, we can talk about it later in the show, and the Giants and Jets, but it's going to be weird not seeing Bill Belichick in that Patriots cutoff hoodie. It'll be weird for Saban, who I was talking about this a lot yesterday with Coach Gambino, funny enough, and the whole baseball team in general. That was like the buzz. Belichick, we all knew, was coming, I think. I think you would agree with me on that, too.
100%.
But Saban was the shocking one. But we think it was because of NIL.
Well, here's the thing with Nick Saban, and I was listening to a lot of interviews with Reese Davis, Paul Feinbaum, a lot of guys, Josh Pate, a lot of guys who worked with Saban a lot, guys who Saban trusts, and they said they didn't see it coming as well, but Saban has mentioned how when you get older, I believe he's 74 years old, the 14-hour days, the 24/7 recruiting, it takes a toll on your body. And also, Paul Feinbaum was talking about this. College football has changed so much in the past 2-3 seasons and probably has burned out Nick Saban because of NIL, because of the transfer portal, because at every single second you have to be on top of your college football program and know what every single person, what every booster is thinking and doing, and it's crazy.
I agree with you. That was pretty much what we talked about yesterday in between bullpen sessions, but if I'm him, which I'm not, Nick Saban, I would not want to go out in that fourth down play. I'd want to come back for one more season. Imagine you lose to Michigan on a QB sneak to go to the national championship. I couldn't live with that.
Yeah, well, what I could live with if I'm Nick Saban is going out on your own terms. Now, Alabama's not going to fire him, of course, but he could have gone out in a much worse way. That Alabama team reached its ultimate peak, right? They had to complete a 4th-and-27. They had to win every game after the Texas loss. And Nick, I don't want to call him Nick, Coach Saban talked about it on the McAfee show throughout the season. He's like, I'm not sure what this team can do. And then they made it to the playoffs, and he's like, this team has really exceeded my expectations. I'm really proud of this group. So, you know, I know he went out on that fourth down play, but that was an epic game. So,
yes.
I think it's actually a pretty good way to go out. And Coach Saban, he doesn't want that farewell party. If it got leaked that it was his last season, that's not a good way because most people don't like that.
What's Bama's future? I mean,
I just tweeted about it, Ben, I'm taking Mike Poorman's class this semester, and it's unbelievable.
I took it my junior year.
Yeah, he's the man.
Ask him who Ben Taylor is. He'll know.
Okay.
Not even kidding.
I will next Tuesday. But he gave out a sheet yesterday for bonus points, and it was who is going to be Alabama's next head coach. And
don't say James.
I don't know what everybody else put, but I did some digging, and I used my mind power, and I put Mike Norvell. Overnight, guess who the favorite is to be Alabama's next head coach? Mike Norvell. Dan Lanning, right after class, tweeted that he's not leaving. Kalen DeBoer, I don't think is leaving because now Washington's in the Big Ten. Massive opportunity to keep growing that program. Dabo Sweeney, I don't think is leaving. You look at Mike Norvell, Florida State's in the ACC, terrible conference, as we saw with the playoff debacle. You know where I stand on that, too. I don't think they should have gotten in, but still, terrible conference. He just lost a booster. He just got an NIL penalty, his program, that is. You go to Alabama, you're now the king. You're never going to get fleeced again in any playoff conversation. You're going to get all the booster money. You're going to be in the best spot you could ever dream about.
I think you're right there. That bowl game for Florida was terrible. One of the worst games I've ever seen.
They were missing, I think, 40 players.
That's not an excuse. The tackling was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, the effort was not there. Their season was over.
Plus, Georgia, I will be fair, came in with a big chip on their shoulder, if I'm being honest.
And that's a credit to Kirby Smart, and he's one of the best motivators in the game. You would think that team could maybe also do the same thing that Florida State did, maybe just roll over, like, we didn't make the playoffs, the season's over. But Kirby Smart is an insane motivator, and he got that team ready to roll. They had the fourth strings in, and they still dominated.
Yes, I agree with that. All right, Yankees?
Yes, let's move over to Yankees. So I was going to say this earlier. Over break, I believe it was last Friday, on The Fan, they had Trevor Bauer. And I've always been a Trevor Bauer supporter. Obviously, I don't support his actions and his treatment of women, but he never got criminally charged, so I never totally, like, jumped off. You know, I try to make very strategical decisions, and if I support somebody and then something comes out about them, you know, sometimes you don't want to totally jump off the ship unless it's really extreme. In this case, it was extreme, no doubt about it, but he never got criminally charged. And I'm still a fan of the guy because I think his baseball mind is one of the best in the baseball game. I think what he knows about pitching, what he knows about taking care of his body, day-to-day routine, recovery, everything that goes into him being a great pitcher, I think is incredible. So Trevor Bauer is on The Fan, and I want the Yankees to sign Bauer. And then yesterday, there was some steam, or 2 days ago, there was steam about Marcus Stroman. Yankees fans don't like Marcus Stroman because he has a personality, because he's, you know,
he's insulted the fan base and Brian Cashman, to be fair. I understand why they don't like him. But yeah.
But still, I like Stroman because he's a dog. Stroman went out last season and absolutely dominated for the better half.
He makes all his starts.
Yeah. So the Yankees signed Marcus Stroman last night. I was in champs. I was very excited. And now I think the rotation obviously got a lot better. There's still moves to be made. But as Benny said before the show, and I'll let you go right now, it was a move that had to be made because you can't have Carlos Rodon as your number two pitcher.
Yeah, I agree with that. You can't have him as your number two pitcher. I didn't understand that signing last year. You can actually go back into the archives where I was wondering what that signing was. But Yankee fans are going to always cry. That's what they are. Mets and Yankee fans, they always cry and they always say, I don't like that. And we'll get into the Mets later. Don't worry. But this, why wouldn't you want Marcus Stroman? The guy posted a 3.89 ERA, which is good. He has a great FIP. He has great analytics and ball releasement, and the ball travels. Has great movement. Yeah, he's going to have his clunkers, but he's reliable. He does not get hurt. He makes all 32 starts, and in today's major league game, or 31 starts, wherever you want to go, in today's major league game, pitchers don't stay healthy. Gerrit Cole is the anomaly, actually, of last year. He's able to stay healthy the past two seasons, to be fair. Carlos Rodon is what every MLB pitcher is. If he throws hard, but he can't stay healthy. Severino with the Mets, same thing. I mean, the list can go on and on. I can name Phillies, I can name Braves, where do you want to go? Marcus Stroman is a good signing. He should have gotten more than Lucas Giolito. And to be fair, this is coming from a Met fan where Marcus Stroman basically kicked the door down on his way out and insulted the whole Met fan base and insulted Gary Cohen, Keith Hernandez, and the whole Met media. So that is Marcus Stroman. There is going to be baggage. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be a lot of baggage. And I did not want the Mets to re-sign him because personally I thought that ship had sailed. But if I'm being honest, for the New York Yankees, this is a perfect signing.
I love that. And listen, all I care about as a fan, especially of the Yankees, as a fan of a baseball team, I don't care about the money. I don't care about if he has a personality, what he says, whatever. Can the guy go out on the mound, be reliable, and shove? And for the most part of Marcus Stroman's career, he has done exactly that. I'm looking at his stats right now, 2023 regular season, 3.95 ERA, not great. Hopefully that.
No, that's good. That's good.
3.95.
Yes, that's good. He's not an ace.
True.
Don't think of him as an ace. Like I said earlier, when I read his ERA and his stats, Yankee fans, don't think of him as an ace. He is not an ace. That's not a bad
Six
thing.
Innings, 3 runs or less.
7 innings on occasion.
Okay.
He is a third or fourth or fifth starter. And that is something you need. And he is someone that can stay healthy. And what was the one thing the Yankees struggled with, whether it was Nestor Cortez or...
Why'd you say it like that?
Well, that's how I say it. Whether it was Nestor Cortez or it was Carlos Rodon or all these other great Yankee failures.
Michael King was out for a while.
Michael King, he's not with them anymore, right? He's with
no.
the Padres.
Yep.
Exactly. All of them couldn't stay healthy. And I get it. Marcus Stroman, he has a presence on Twitter. Everybody gets it. No one understands that right now more than me. Maybe Yankee fans will understand it later. They don't really understand because they watch from afar. He's going to tweet. He's going to say things that gets Yankee fans upset. He'll probably get ownership upset too. But this guy is someone the Yankees needed to get. And for $37 million over 2 years, it was a steal.
Well, $37 million over 2 years is like what it's like a Brooklyn bagel to George Steinbrenner. Not George. Oh, my God. I can't believe I just said that. How Steinbrenner. I mean, truly, it's like a Brooklyn bagel. Add a little bit of cream cheese. There you go. $37 million. But again, looking at his stats, yeah, he's good. I'm very happy with this signing. But it's actually crazy. He's like the definition of like average. Win-loss record in his career. Do you want to take a guess like what his win percentage is or loss percentage? Do you want to take a guess?
Probably 2 games above 500.
It's 1 game. 77 and 76. ERA, career, 3.65.
That's good.
I mean, and he's from Medford, New York. Where is Medford, New York?
It's close to Long Island.
Oh my God! The first picture that comes up of Medford, New York, is the post office. I would not want to go there. Oh my God, Ben! The first picture is the post office, and yeah, it's in Long Island. By the way, this is completely off topic, Benny. I'm sure you saw on Insta or TikTok or whatever. I went to UBS Arena in Belmont. Oh my God, is it beautiful?
I did not know that. Good to know. I have to check out Ben Washerman's Instagram. I don't have TikTok, so.
Yeah, I didn't think he did. That's why I said Instagram first.
Yeah.
But yeah, great signing by the Yankees. And
they need more, by the way.
Yes, I was just about to say that. Benny, before we hop into the Mets, the Yankees, I would like to see get Blake Snell.
No, you don't.
I don't think signing Jordan Montgomery is good. I think he reached his cap in terms of pitching performance and now compensation value.
If you look at his numbers, though, look at Blake Snell. And I'm going to do the visual example here. So I'm going to try my best to explain. So this is Blake Snell's ascending. He's like on an elevator. The elevator's ascending. No, not Blake Snell. I mean Jordan Montgomery. Get it right. 8 a.m, not a little tired still. Jordan Montgomery is ascending. The numbers show it. The ERA show it. The strikeouts show it. The analytics show it to a certain extent. Everything there is he's ascending. While Blake Snell, he is what he is. He's a six-inning pitcher that's going to walk the ballpark. He stinks. I get it. He won a Cy Young Award, but those 2 years where he's won the Cy Young, and by the way, he's 2018, he's not been the same. He's never really reached that. This year he won a Cy Young and a weak NL, let's be honest, folks. But Blake Snell, he is what he is. He is descending. He's 31 years old. He's going to walk the ballpark, and at Yankee Stadium, that's not good. If I'm the Yankees, I'm heavily reinvesting in Jordan Montgomery. I want the Mets to go after Jordan Montgomery. That's not happening. We'll get into it later. But I don't get it. I think Blake Snell would be terrible because you're going to have to give him 7 to 8 years, pay him close to $31 million, and it's just another Carlos Rodon. I could see it.
Well, after you say that, I kind of just lost all positivity about Blake Snell. 7 to 8 years for a 31-year-old pitcher. Oh my God, if that happens, that would be brutal. Here's my thing about Jordan Montgomery. Is he ever going to pitch as good as he pitched with the Texas Rangers down the stretch and in their World Series run? Probably not. So right now, good for him, by the way. Right now, he's at the peak of compensation value, and you're definitely going to overpay for a guy who, when he was on the Yankees, the offense, and I know this has nothing to do with him, but it's a weird thing, and it happened for 3 years straight. The offense never hit for him. But, again, he did give the Yankees, for the most part, everything they needed in most games, and that was 6 innings, 3 runs or less, and that's all you could ask for in modern age of baseball.
There are games, if we're comparing Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery, where Blake Snell will go three innings because his pitch count is too high. He walks the ballpark.
Every time you say that, it's so funny.
He might have led the National League in walks last year. I don't know that for a fact. I know he was up there. But if Jordan Montgomery's on the rise, and the Yankees kind of ruined him. When he left the Yankees, Jordan Montgomery started to ascend, whether it was at the Cardinals or the Rangers. To me, there's no debate. Montgomery.
Give him a four-year deal.
That gave me
flashbacks to our intro element when you said, to me, there's no debate. Literally the same exact thing. All right, well, Benny, I really trust you when it comes, well, to everything, but especially baseball. So I am off good. Of the Blake Snell train. I am now on the Jordan Montgomery train. But again, in terms of my wish list for Santa Claus, for Hal Steinbrenner.
Santa Claus?
I want Trevor Bauer. And then if you can't get him, or you don't want to get him for reasons like I kind of mentioned earlier, then I want Jordan Montgomery. And obviously over winter break, Ben and I did not talk about this, but the Yankees missed out on Yamamoto.
The Mets did too.
But he didn't want to come to the East Coast, and there's nothing you could do about that.
Well, we'll get into the Mets perspective in a little bit. So stay tuned, because I do have a lot to say.
Ben texted me yesterday saying, can I have 10 minutes solo to talk about the Mets?
Well,
I said sure. I'm pumped.
Not solo. You can always maybe give me like 2 to 3 minutes solo. But like we're like just 10 minutes. I didn't know where we were going because there was so much news.
I got you.
Of hey, let's talk about the Mets because you know that's all they deserve. But Yankees, we'll do that after the break because we'll take a break in a few minutes. But
yep.
Yankees, if they don't get their starting pitcher, they need bullpen help too.
They sure do. They should get Josh Hader. I know I sound like a typical Yankees fan. Big name. Go get him. Also,
no,
how about
right
Corbin
there.
Burns?
I want the Mets.
I love Corbin Burns.
Well, what's your farm system? You think you want to...
We have Peraza, Cabrera, who probably has no value.
I was about to say.
I mean, yeah. I love Cabrera. He's a great guy from what I see on social media. But Peraza, why am I missing a name? We have some
Volpe.
Guys.
Volpe's still
untradeable. Untradeable.
Really?
Yeah.
As my voice cracked. Really?
Yeah, I think the tradable great assets.
You guys treat him like Derek. Your fan base sometimes treats him like Derek Jeter. I don't see it.
Well, he's the shortstop for the next, hopefully, 15 years. Here's the prospects, though. Spencer Jones, great outfielder, 6'6", lefty. He's going to be a stud. Jason Dominguez, untradeable. Everson Pereira, Oswald Peraza, who you can consider a prospect, whatever.
He is?
Austin Wells.
He's not a prospect.
Yeah, it's kind of weak. But Austin Wells, Spencer Jones, and Everson Pereira, Oswald Peraza, very good assets.
The Yankees feel like a must-win-now team. So, yeah, I guess you can deplete your farm system, but there's a good chance Juan Soto might not be back, and there's a good chance Corbin Burns might not be back because the Yankees' budget would get a little out of control at that point. So the question is, and this is how I feel with the Yankees, are you treating this like a year win and like that's it? Like you're going to really go for it now, deplete the farm system for later? Or are you treating it as we want to have a sustained winner, and that means keeping a little bit of the farm system because injuries always happen, and depth is a big part of it. And Corbin Burns is a great pitcher, by the way. I think he's going to get traded because I think the Milwaukee Brewers relationship is over. I think it's fractured because of arbitration. But I don't know how the Yankees view it. Do they view it as we got to do this? This is a one-year type of thing. We don't know if Soto's coming back. We don't know if Burns is coming back. That's a risk we're going to have to take. Or is it we have enough. Let's go out and just sign Jordan Montgomery or Blake Snell, whoever you want. It's a 1A and 1B, really. And that's it. That's what we're going to find out.
Well,
and
Ben,
get Josh Hader. That's a must.
Ben, I think if you ask any of the big market teams, like the Dodgers, the Mets, maybe not the Mets. Let's just focus on the Dodgers and the Yankees. They would say yes to both your questions. They would say, we want to win now, but we also want to be a sustained winner. And you can do that in baseball because you could sign guys for a lot of money for 1 year, like Juan Soto, who just set the arbitration record, which I was going to bring up when you were done. But, I mean, the Yankees got to win. They didn't even make the playoffs last year. Steinbrenner's pissed. He gets booed on the field every time he goes on the field. They got to win. They can't just make the playoffs. They didn't even make it last year. They got to make it now. And they got to win a World Series. It's been too long. You got to beat the Astros. You got to beat the Red Sox in the playoffs because they took us out in 2019, I believe, 2018.
Red Sox aren't making the playoffs. They're rebuilding.
Yeah, but you never know with Alex Cora. Such a great coach. No Chris Sale anymore for the Red Sox, too. But
that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, true. He doesn't stay healthy. But going back to your question, I think they would say we want to do both. Now, going to arbitration, Juan Soto got the highest arbitration of all time. Ooh, I'm trying to find the number.
$31
million. 31. I was going to say 34. $31.5 million for one season. Beast.
We'll see. I don't know if he's worth $31 million, but the Mets are good. He's going to get $600 million on the open market next year. $500 to $600 million is what they're projecting.
Yep. Might be seven with what Shohei got.
No.
Yeah,
that's
nobody's
an overpay.
Gonna get seven.
For what? Juan Soto's an outfielder.
True.
Generational player? Yes, but come on.
No, I know. I was just playing.
No, I know.
Ben, I'm pumped to see Juan Soto. Like, you know what's weird, though, going into the season? It's like, yeah, we got Juan Soto. And I've always been a fan of Juan Soto. The swag, the playoff performances, the guy shows up. He's a baller. But it's like, yeah, I'm pumped. Juan Soto's a Yankee. Let's go. But always in the back of my head. It was way different with Judge because I knew he was not leaving. But it's like, this guy's probably not going to be on the team next year.
Yeah.
But also, I preach, enjoy the moment. But you see the balance that you have to walk on?
I'm a Mets fan. I've been walking on that balance my whole life. Hasn't been a lot of enjoyable moments, but yes, I understand where you're coming from.
All right, awesome. We will take a quick break. When we return, Benny Taylor has a monologue spiel about the New York Mets that I'm personally pumped for. We will do our NFL wildcard picks later in the show, and I also...
Wrap up the football teams, too.
What?
You have to wrap up the football teams.
Oh, yes, and we got to wrap up the football teams. And I have a different opinion on Aaron Rodgers. Stay tuned.
Who didn't hear the biggest new release until way too late.
Well, I'm never that guy.
Me either, all because of Calm Radio's 5 and 30.
Whether it's a hit from a rookie, surprise release from a superstar, or the newest songs dominating the charts, 5 and 30 has got you covered.
Tune into Calm Radio at 6:15 every Monday to hear the weekend's biggest bangers and more.
5 songs in 30 minutes? Don't be that guy.
Start your hump day right with the Keystone Clash, hosted by John Colavita and Declan Stablo, every Wednesday from 10 to 10:30.
Whether you love pierogies or cheesesteaks, we'll be serving up some of the hottest takes from the 412 to the 215.
Paul Skeens will save the Pirates.
Tyrese Maxey is a future MVP.
Drew Aller is winning the Heisman.
Don't miss the Keystone Clash every Wednesday morning from 10 to 10:30, right here on Calm Radio.
I just feel like no one understands me. I feel like the black sheep when it comes to this obsession.
Emily, you sound crazy. I'm just like you, so you're basically making fun of me.
Jack, you know I'm not. I just don't think people are as weird as us.
Well, you'll never know unless you try. Just plug our talk show, for crying out loud.
Alrighty then. If you feel odd for being obsessed with Survivor, don't feel bad. Join us.
Yes, every Wednesday at 4:45 to recap, analyze, and predict all things Survivor Season 45 on Surviving Survivor.
I just feel like no one understands me. I feel like the black sheep when it comes to this obsession.
Emily, you sound crazy. I'm just like you, so you're basically making fun of me.
Jack, you know I'm not.
You're listening to the Ben and Ben Show on Calm Radio from 1010 to 1040. Let's get...
All right, that one's on me. I played a commercial twice. I played a bump, a time slot from a half an hour. That one was on me. I totally messed up everything.
I was waiting for the old disgusting baseball teams one. I was waiting.
Oh, that's a good one.
That was my time to shine.
By the way, Benny, I got some news. So in that generic bump, the instrumental behind it was Travis Scott. I think it was Goosebumps or one of his songs. And I'm actually going to be seeing Travis Scott this Sunday night at Champs. He has a concert at the Bryce Jordan Center, and then he's going to Champs. So I bought a ticket at Champs to see him, but now I'm second guessing it because something tells me that he's going to go there, play two songs, and leave.
Well, you're 21 years old. What do you have to lose? It's a 3-day weekend.
True, but maybe I should have just bought the actual concert ticket.
You could still do that. I know there are tickets still available.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I hope Travis Scott actually gives me a good time. All right, so Benny, what do you want to get? We got to do Mets. And then, guys, you got to hear my new stance on Rodgers.
And the Giants.
Because I supported this guy for a long time, but I got a new stance. Benny, Mets.
All coming up later on the show. Of course, we'll talk about how the Wink Martindale flew to Florida because he was a crybaby and didn't get what he wanted. But we do have to bring both football teams there. They have more drama off the field than on the field. They're more entertaining this year. Not shocking. All right, the Mets. My beloved baseball team, who I spent over 45 minutes yesterday talking to my dad with on the phone. And I've come to a realization. And Evan Roberts, if you're a Mets fan, I would encourage you to listen to Rico Bronya, great podcast. Evan Roberts really turned me on to something. Steve Cohen, the great Steve Cohen. I love Steve Cohen. My dad is a season ticket holder, so I don't want to hear that I don't support the Cohen regime, what I'm about to say here, but this has to be said. Steve Cohen and Alex Cohen, they're great people. They're great for the community. That's all being said. But Steve Cohen, the great businessman, is not dumb. You would agree with that, right? He's not a dumb man, right?
Maybe one of the smartest businessmen in the baseball sport.
$30 billion, a total net worth. 28, probably, to be exact.
Money. What would you do with $30 billion?
I wouldn't be here.
Wow.
I mean, I wouldn't be in school if I had $30 billion. Wouldn't lie to you there. But he's not going to just sign Harrison Bader and a broken down Luis Severino and somebody else from the Giants, Manaea. By the way, I like the Manaea signing. I would have signed him anyway. So that's besides the point. He wouldn't sign these
bums. Oh, sorry. I thought you were going to bash them.
No. Bargain bin signings with a high potential, but really we know their ceiling. That's not just going to be the offseason, right, David Stearns and Steve Cohen? You are not going to raise my dad's season ticket prices when the inflation percentage in America is out of control to make up for your dumb mistakes in the past, right? To pay for your farm system, to pay for every mistake that the old general manager made, whether it was signing Justin Verlander or signing Max Scherzer and giving him a boatload of money that was out of control even at the time, setting new records for pitchers, $43 million a year. You're not going to tax us, the people that love you, the people that make you out to be a king. You wouldn't just sign those two bargain bin basket players that have high potentials, don't get me wrong. And I'm happy with both of them, but you're not just going to sign them and a couple relievers that never have success, but because the Mets have a new pitching system down in Port St. Lucie, we can fix them. You're not going to do that and raise my dad's season ticket prices and raise tickets out of control and force these outrageous prices for a team that only that on paper right now, even with the return of Edwin Diaz, is a 70-win team. You are really not that stupid. You are a smart man. I'm not asking you to do what the Yankees are doing, to sign Jordan Montgomery, to sign Blake Snell, to sign Josh Hader. I'm not like Frank the Tank. I'm not asking for that. But as a season ticket holder, section 125, seat 7, row 8.
There we go.
Could you sign JD Martinez? I don't want to hear this. This is the only thing that gets me upset with the Mets offseason. It gets me frustrated. Upset's a big word. Frustrated's a better word. The fact that you are willing to run out this pathetic, pathetic lineup. Let's be honest. Oh, we're going to give Mark Vientos and Brett Beatty another chance. We know what they are.
Bums.
I don't think they're bums, but Bums is a big word.
Not Brett Beatty, but Vientos.
Bust is a better word. They have not lived up to their potential. I don't believe they're bums. You're not going to run on a weak lineup like that when you have Francisco Lindor and Jeff McNeil and all these guys in their prime and Pete. You're not going to do that, right? Go sign Justin Turner. Go sign J.D. Martinez. And go get me David Robertson. All on one-year deals. You don't have to get all of them. Just get two of the three. And that's it. You have a real DH. I don't care who it is, whether it's Justin Turner. I don't know why I keep saying Verlander. Or J.D. Martinez. I don't care who it is. You pick. But you're not really going to run out this pathetic lineup again, right? You're not. I get it. It's a transitional year. But you're not going to punt on a season. Remember, you're not the Wilpons. Remember, you would never punt on a season. It's about winning in the short term and building up a farm system. Whether it's Joey Wendell, we're not just going to be okay with Joey Wendell and Harrison Bader as our offensive acquisitions, right? The Mets really don't have a $10 million salary left, right? We're going to spend like another 20, right? We're gonna get it up to $20 million. If the Mets go in with this roster and sign one bullpen arm, I'm going to be very disappointed in Steve Cohen. I get it. We didn't get Yamamoto. I get it. He wanted to go to the Dodgers. But you're not going to go get J.D. Martinez. David Stearns thinks all the talent is in the building? Please say that's just to get the price down. Please.
Ben, can I mention one thing?
Yes.
Why haven't the Mets signed Pete Alonso to a long-term deal?
That's where I was going to next! Pete, this is my first real criticism of Steve Cohen in this rant, because I think Steve Cohen will do the right thing and get us a DH. Get us, whether it's Jose Soler, two. Soler's two. I'm fine with that two to be the DH for the next two to three years. But this is my first real criticism, because I do think the Mets will get a DH. I'm not like Frank the Tank, who was blocked on Twitter by Steve Cohen, which is, if I was Steve Cohen, I'd do that too. Or like Sal Licata, where I'm going to yell and scream, or Brandon Tierney, all those guys, which they have a right to, by the way, not Frank. But the other two have a right. They brought up some very valid points. But you've treated Pete Alonso like garbage for no reason. All the leaks, not wanting to give him a long-term extension. Pete has been the soldier of the New York Mets organization. Pay the man right now. It's like David Wright in 2012. The Mets knew they weren't going to be good for 2 to 3 years, which they weren't. They signed him in the offseason. They weren't good till 2015. But even the Wilpons knew that they had to sign their franchise guy, that they had to sign someone that the franchise loves, the fan base loves and holds. And I get it, it's a business for you. Get it done now. I don't want to go through what Wasserman went through, where it's going to be Peter Alfonso is going to the Giants, and then I'm going to have to panic saying, who the hell is Peter Alfonso?
I didn't know where you were going there. That's hilarious.
I don't want to go through what that was, because I remember Ben Wasserman getting nervous.
I was nervous, and then I went to Starbucks, ate a cake pop, and said, judge to the Yankees, basically confirmed.
But you're not, don't put the fan base through that, Steve. You are a billionaire. You could pay for art. You could pay everybody's college tuition on the baseball team and in Com Radio and still not even feel it.
It's like a McDonald's cheeseburger.
But, and we'll get to the Giants and the Jets in a minute. But if you are really that inept to let Pete Alonso go, and I'm not saying you are, but if you are really that inept to let Pete go, then, or trade him mid-season, I'm not going to be happy. The season ticket holders are not going to be happy.
Ben, I think you're spot on with everything you're saying. Your team's not good, your management's not making the right decisions, and you're paying a ton of money, just like the New York Jets fans. You're paying a ton of money, and right now you're not happy, and you have a 100% valid reason to not be happy, and I think you just panned everything out in a beautiful way, and I feel bad. I truly do feel bad, because it sucks. When you get those emails, and I'm not personally a season ticket holder, but my brother has season tickets for the Devils, and I hear Evan Roberts talking about it with the Jets and
the Mets.
The Nets. When you get those emails, whether it's that your card has been charged or that the prices are going up and your team has done nothing to make you happy in the last, recent recent past. I mean, it's just a gutting feeling.
It is. And I am a little disappointed in Steve Cohen. I can't lie to you. I'm not asking for Jordan Montgomery. I thought this was a year we would figure things out. But J.D. Martinez is right there.
I want the Yankees to sign him. He's an amazing hitter.
Justin Turner's right there. The fact that I have to listen to this garbage of, well, we think Brett Beatty's the guy at third base and Mark Vientos can be the DH. Mark Vientos, I get. Never got a fair shot. We know what Brett Beatty is. He's someone that can't field, can't really hit, has no power, and his confidence gets shot the moment he starts to fail. Typical person in sports today. They've been babied there. A lot of professional athletes have been babied so much in their lives. The moments they hit a little adversity, they crumble. Most of them. The top 1%, like Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, et cetera, et cetera, Tom Brady, they you succeed. See. But the rest of the league are just eh or meh. And the moment they get booed, they're like, I don't want to play anymore. Trade me.
Yeah. It's crazy. I know you don't follow hockey, but Cutter Gauthier requested a trade, and he got traded from the Flyers before he even played a game. He didn't even talk to management because he wanted out. I'm not sure why he wanted out so badly. We obviously don't know all the information, but it's a crazy world right now where players can force their way out, college, NFL, MLB. It's wild.
We'll get to the Jets in a minute because that is some, and the Giants too. But I'm not saying Brett Beatty is that player. But what I'm saying is we know what Brett Beatty is right now. And I hope I'm wrong. Because obviously I want the Mets are in a weak National League after the Dodgers. They could make the playoffs.
I mean, the Diamondbacks went to the World Series last year, so it's a weak league.
Exactly. To me, just go get Justin Turner or J.D. Martinez or Soler, and I'll be happy.
Yeah, J.D.
And
Martinez.
I believe Steve Cohen will do this. He is not inept and stupid.
Nope, and I agree with you on that last point. J.D. Martinez is 37 years old, but he hits 270. But it's probably going to go down a notch. Let's just say he hits 260. Jorge Soler has a lot of pop. And Justin Turner, he's also old, but I feel like he's a great locker room culture guy from his leadership on the Dodgers. Yeah, and I have to mention this. Ben, you're going to really enjoy this. Miracle Mets shortstop. Well, not enjoy what I'm about to say, but enjoy me bringing this up. Bud Harrison,
oh, yeah,
I just have to say, rest in peace. So I had to bring him up. Miracle Mets, 1969. I don't know anything about that team. I'm sure Benny could name the third-string bullpen coach. But rest in peace to Bud, 79 years old.
Had dementia.
That's a tough way to go. Real quick,
and I wasn't really going to mention this, but I will mention it. Bud Harrison on both the Mets World Series teams. Not coaching third base in 1986. He was on the 73 team where he punched out Pete Rose. Ha ha, short guy punching out Pete Rose. Really embodied the grit. He was the owner of the Long Island Ducks also. It's sad day in Metland yesterday. Met manager from 90 to 91 took over after Davey Johnson. And by the way, I'm not reading this off my phone. I just know this because I'm a baseball loser, to be honest. But yeah, rest in peace. Another 1969 Miracle Met gone. And it was a little tough one in Metland yesterday.
Yeah, dementia's tough. Rest in peace. And, what do they say to, like, the family? Is it
condolences?
Condolences. That was the word. Condolences to the Harrison and family. All right, I got to move to the Jets here. I teased this a little bit earlier. Benny, you know this. Rodgers became a Jet. Before he was a Jet, I was like, let's go get this guy. Then he was a Jet. I'm like, Ben, I'm telling you, we're going to be good, blah, 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 blah. The offensive line sucked. He played four plays, and he tore his Achilles and never came back. And the team went downhill, and, you know, at least they finished off their season with a win over Belichick. That was fun, and they have the 10th pick, a failed season, and they have the longest playoff drought, and it just continues getting longer and longer. But throughout
years.
The whole season, I was a Rodgers guy. I said, look, he might be annoying. He brought in Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard, who are basically as good as the fans sitting in the front row. I actually like Cobb. I don't really like Alan Lazard. But
you
anyway, that was a little mean. But he brought in these guys. The team is horrible. And I support Robert Saleh, but if Rodgers wasn't there right now, then Robert Saleh would be out and Mike Vrabel would be the coach, which I think is an upgrade. But regardless, supported Rodgers the whole year. But now it has finally gotten to the point inside of me where with all this Jimmy Kimmel drama, all this Pat McAfee drama, all this talk and fake hope that Rodgers portrays to the fans, which I get he has to do because why would you want to not portray positive hope? It's been all unnecessary drama and all unnecessary actions and words and news for a guy who has done absolutely nothing, and I've finally gotten to the point of Aaron Rodgers annoying me.
Wow, welcome to the club. He never annoyed me, but I'm not a Jet fan. But that Kimmel stuff was uncalled for, really.
Yeah, totally uncalled for.
Typical Rodgers.
But let me make this very clear. When he comes back, and by the way, at Champs last night, actually at Primanti Bros, they were replaying the Cowboys-Packers playoff game, the famous Did Dez Catch It game. And I was watching Rodgers, and I was like, oh my God, this guy didn't even play a game. He didn't even complete a pass. But let me make this very clear. Right now, I'm in the phase of this guy annoys me. I'm not in the phase of getting him off my team. But when he wins one game, then I would be out of the phase of this guy annoys me, because then he would actually
do something.
What is that?
Mike Vrabel is going to be Bill Belichick's successor, it looks like.
Well, I could have seen that coming. I think it's a slam dunk hire.
8:37.
Yep. I think I said that on Sunday to Abby. I was like, not on Sunday. I think I said that to one of my friends. I was like, Vrabel to the Pats just seems so good, and then they're going to draft a quarterback, and they're going to be really good. Vrabel should not have gotten fired.
It wasn't Mike Vrabel he's saying. It's
Gerard Mayo.
Gerard Mayo.
Yeah, he was on their new defensive head coach. Yeah, that came out last night.
He got the job. It's good. Official. Ian Rappaport just corrected himself, 8:46.
Good for Gerard Mayo. He was reported to be the favorite last night. He worked on the defensive staff, obviously ex-player. I think that's also a slam dunk hire. Now Mike Vrabel's still on the board. And again, I don't even think he should have gotten fired. I think he's a top five coach in the NFL. And it actually surprises me. But until Bill makes his decision, then teams can go after Vrabel. But obviously everybody wants Bill. So Gerard Mayo, new coach of the Patriots.
Back
to the Jets. Yeah, so I said when Rodgers wins one game, I would be off of the he annoys me train. But right now I'm fully on it because this guy has done nothing but talk false things. And he brought in bad players. And it's just nothing good. I can't name one. The only thing that was good was when he ran onto the field with an American flag on 9/11. That was probably one of the coolest moments in sports of 2023.
It gave us one of the best memes of 2023.
Yeah.
It did. but Aaron Rodgers is what he is. Drama-filled. He'll win you some games. That's all I got. Does he continue to be on the Pat McAfee show? Put down your foot. He's like the spoiled brat child that gets whatever he wants. I want ice cream. Just give it to him. Just give him the ice cream and shut him up.
Yesterday he went on the show and he's like, I'm in the woods, guys. My Wi-Fi is not that good.
What, was he on for like a half hour?
I don't know. He's probably on for a whole hour, and he was probably after the show or before the show in the woods doing you know what. Ayahuasca.
We fill in the blank. PG show. All right. Typical. I don't know what else to say. What do you want me to say? He's not my problem.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. All right, let's hop over to the Giants train, and then we'll end off with some NFL wildcard talk, because I see on Twitter, weather in Kansas City, -10 degrees.
I'm shocked.
Can the Dolphins handle it with basically no defensive line and a very injured group at all other positions? I don't think so. But I'll make my official pick later. Giants, I didn't even know about this situation. You're telling me that their DC ran away?
Yeah, they got into a fight.
How did I never hear about this?
This is the big story the past 2 days. Google it, Wing Martindale. So, all right. So the Giants, as they typically do, they failed. That's been the memo the past 10 years. And they made some changes. They fired Bobby Johnson, the offensive coordinator. Oh, not offensive coordinator. I mean, line coach, offensive line coach, which was good because, you know, the Giants gave up 85 sacks this year. Three quarterbacks got hurt, but that's besides the point. They let go of special teams coordinator Thomas McGahee. The fact I know this guy's name all year and all the dumb special teams penalties and Graham Gano, this, that, and the other, Mason Crosby, all the injured kickers, good. But then they fired Wink Martindale. Well, they mutually parted ways. And the way the Giants handled it was, during the press conference, they said, I expect Wink Martindale to get back, come back. But then they fired Wink Martindale's two right-hand man from Baltimore.
Yep. I see
the brothers.
That. Yeah, I'm reading it right now. He fired Drew Wilkins and...
his brother.
His brother. Okay, I don't see this in the article, but... Well, I would be pissed too.
Yeah, but Wink Martindale leaked all this information, and to me, professionally, you don't... This is just the inner... I guess if I was a coach in that situation, which I guess I can put myself in, not into his shoes, but I've been in uncomfortable situations in the past at other places where I've coached, where... You just felt in your heart, I guess, or whatever you want to call it, this isn't working out anymore. Let's mutually agree to part ways. Blah 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 blah. But I would never walk out and curse out my boss, and
yeah,
fly to Sarasota.
Somebody that I work with at Hanover Wine, Liquor, and Beer, he is from the Dominican Republic. His name is Roberto. He doesn't speak a lot of English, but he could speak English. He told me, well, actually, he does speak good English. Now. I don't know why I said that. He told me, he said, Ben, I want to teach you something. Do not let your emotions get the best of you. When your emotions go, everything else goes in the wrong way. And that seems to be what happened with Wink Martindale. But he went to Sarasota. You know what's hilarious, Ben? I just looked up on Twitter this Wink Martindale situation. Somebody sniped him in the airport. My favorite type of journalism is people that get caught in the airport just waiting, being a normal human. That is my favorite and the best type of journalism. This guy tweets, sitting next to Wink Martindale when he's not, because he took the picture from 6 feet away, headed to Sarasota. Let the rumors begin. Sarasota, Florida. This guy, Wink Martindale, was just walking in the airport with a coffee. If I was Wink Martindale and I saw this guy taking a picture of me, I would be so pissed. But that is journalism, folks. And that is my favorite type.
Yes, that is journalism.
They don't teach that in school. I really think they should. Because this Twitter post got 645,000 views.
Fair enough. But the Giants, this is an important offseason. Will they draft a quarterback? Will they not draft a quarterback? What's the future with Jones? Barkley, I think, is gone. We'll get into it next week. But typical, I think Wink Martindale just, like usual, just didn't get what he wanted and became a crybaby and stormed out of a building.
Well, he's going to be back, and that defense is going to be
blown. No, he's not.
Even more.
They resigned. They mutually parted ways Thursday.
What? That's
Wednesday.
Not what the article says.
The Giants and Wink Martindale have mutually agreed to part ways.
Oh, wow. Why am I so out of the loop on this?
Because you're not a Giants fan. The Giants also made a hire signing the Bills offensive coordinator, offensive line coach, Carmen, I can't say his last name, so I'm not. Really good offensive line. He took terrible pieces with the Raiders and... made them okay, made the offensive line manageable. And with the Giants' talent on offensive line, they should play better. And Antonio Pierce is in the running to be the new defensive coordinator because the Raiders might actually let him go.
Wow, as if the Raiders' management can be dumber and dumber.
That's what I said.
All right, so...
Quick break, and then NFL picks?
Quick break, but who do you want to be the DC? Let's say Antonio Pierce stays.
I don't care at that point. Just someone that doesn't play a ton of soft zone. That's
you just want Sexy Dexy to do his thing.
Yeah.
All right, quick break. NFL wildcard picks, 8:54, Friday, January 12th.
Are you or a loved one obsessed with listening to people screaming over hockey?
Peter DeBoer is the best coach of all time!
Are you experiencing side effects that may include crying, madness, and tomfoolery?
I love tomfoolery.
If so, listen to The Sinbin every Tuesday from 8:10 to 9:10 here on Calm Radio.
Last season, Penn State basketball won their first NCAA tournament game since 2001 and came a shot away from winning a Big Ten title. However, this year is going to be very different. New coach, new players, new everything. But does it have to be different in a bad way? I don't think so. I predicted PSU basketball's last 12 games correctly, yes, including the loss to Texas, and I think that this year's team can be even better. Get the most in-depth analysis on Penn State basketball this season on the Analytical Lion, Mondays at 8:20 p.m. on Calm Radio.
The NBA is fining Sixers star James Harden $100,000.
Guys, we really have to deal with this again.
He's literally Ben Simmons 2.0.
No, not again!
Breaking news into First Take this morning. The Philadelphia 76ers have fired their head coach, Doc Rivers.
Let's go!
Oh my God!
Come on, give me a high five, baby! High five all around!
Come ride the Philly emotional roller coaster with us every Monday at 7:05 to 8:05 with Jude Wozniak, Mac Young, Nick Volpe, Matt McLaughlin, and Jake Hernick.
Looking for top NFL prospect analysis?
The Steeler Way is take someone who has all the talent but is the biggest project in the world. We're going to take Broderick Jones from Georgia.
Or some embarrassing draft takes.
Bijan Robinson, you are a Philadelphia
Eagle.
Correct
pick.
Number
it's the correct
10.
Pick.
It is the correct pick.
For more coverage like this, tune into The Watchlist, Calm Radio's award-winning talk show every Thursday from 4:10 to 5.
You're listening to the Ben and Ben.
My goodness, what are you doing?
Bad producing job by myself. I could only be behind the mic. Producing, not my thing. Need to be better. Okay.
You're in telecommunications. You're supposed to be behind the scenes anyway.
Yes, that is true. One quick quote from Joel Sherman, and then we would do NFL wildcard picks as we wrap up the first 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. show in 2024. This is about the Yankees from Joel Sherman. They have never fully replaced the leadership of CC Sabathia and Brett Gardner, which is needed since the Yankees are adding Marcus Stroman to the mix of Alex Verdugo and Carlos Rodon in trying to own the worst actor category in 2024. I thought that was very funny and also pretty important since they do need a good leadership besides what? For Aaron Judge and Gerrit Cole. Okay, NFL
Aaron,
wild
hold
card
on.
Picks.
Aaron Judge is not a good leader.
What?
He's not a good clubhouse leader.
I think he's amazing.
That clubhouse has fallen apart the past few years. He's on the field leader, yes. In the clubhouse leader, he's not Derek Jeter. And I think he would even tell you that. He's someone that just likes to lead by example on the field.
Fair enough. NFL wildcard picks. Let's start off with the first game. Maybe one of the best matchups. These matchups are off the charts. Storylines off the charts, right? Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford playing each other. Mike McCarthy playing his own team. So on and so on. Tyreek Hill back in Arrowhead. First game, Browns-Texans. Browns, sneaky team that a lot
Give
of people
Browns.
Think can make a run. Facing C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans. Benny Taylor is on the Browns. I'm taking the home dog. I'm taking the Texans. I think C.J. Stroud makes plays, and I think Joe Flacco is going to feel a lot of heat off the edge from Will Anderson. Next game, Tyreek Hill back in Kansas City. Weather, negative 10 degrees. Chiefs coming into the playoffs, winning 3 of the last 4. Dolphins, as I said earlier in the show, barely have a defensive line. This one's easy. Chiefs.
Give me the Dolphins.
Wow, really?
Upset of the weekend.
Tua, minus 10 degrees.
Yep, you heard it here first.
Wow, okay, I'll save that one. Steelers, Bills, this is the easiest pick of the weekend. Steelers, really lucky to be in the playoffs, but also won their last 3 games. Mike Tomlin, masterpiece of a coaching job. But the Bills are going to win the AFC conference, and for them to do so, they're going to win this game.
Give me the Bills.
All right. Packers, Cowboys.
Give me the
Jordan
Cowboys.
Love. Versus Dak Prescott. I think the Cowboys win, but Packers keep it close.
Cowboys are going to win by 10.
All right, good prediction. And then I think the best matchup of the weekend, Rams-Lions. I got the Lions at home.
Give me the Rams.
All right, I could see that one as well. Matt Stafford, Puka Nacua. Obviously, they got AD on the other side, Aaron Donald. And then Eagles-Bucks.
Give me the Bucks. The Eagles are collapsing.
Will beat the Eagles because the Eagles are done so. It's 8:59, 30 seconds remaining. Everybody, thank you for listening. Final thoughts for me, and then I'll shoot it over to Benny. Everybody, enjoy your weekend. If you're in the State College area, check out the hockey series versus Michigan State tonight and tomorrow, and enjoy your Martin Luther King Day. Thank you to MLK for everything you did.
Enjoy the weekend, folks.
Why are you laughing?
Now I'm laughing because you said, why are you laughing? But enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the Martin Luther King Day. Thank you for everything you did, as Wasserman said. We're back for one last semester. All peace, all the love. And baseball season's right around the corner.
Enjoy.